الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد من الله على المؤمنين إذ بعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين آمنت بالله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I was invited today to say a few words about Hakim al-Ummah Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh, and the background of this meeting or session is that one of the great works of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi rahmatullahi alayh is a book on the subject of tasawwuf, which is called At-Tasharruf bi Ma'rifati Ahadith At-Tasawwuf. This is a unique book in which Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah rahimahullah ta'ala has inferred the subjects of tasawwuf from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps you know that there are many people who claim that tasawwuf or tariqah or suluk is something alien to Sharia. It is a new invention by some Sufis which has no source in the Holy Quran or in the Sunnah of Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore they presume that tasawwuf is something against Sharia or against Islam. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has written a lot of books to explain that tasawwuf, what the branch of knowledge that is called tasawwuf, is in fact an essence of the Holy Quran and Sunnah itself. One of his books is Masail al-Suluk min Kalam Malik al-Muluk, in which he has inferred the Masail of Tasawwuf from the Holy Quran itself. And the other book is this At-Tasarruf bi Ma'rifati Ahadith al-Tasawwuf, in which he has inferred the Masail of Tasawwuf from Ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This book was published in Arabic and Urdu. Now, alhamdulillah, some of our brothers have published it in its translation, its English translation. And alhamdulillah, this book has been launched shortly, and perhaps it may be available here also. So it was on this occasion that the publishers of this book wished to have a session in which we could understand the personality of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh and the great works he has done for the service of Islam. In order to speak about Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi, when I set here the ayah of Holy Quran that I have just recited came to my mind, and I propose to give a brief explanation of this ayah and its relevance to the works done by Hakim al-Ummah Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayh. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed the Muslims and says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It was a great favor by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the believers. إِذْبَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا, that He has sent down a messenger مِنْهُمْ, from among themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained the basic objectives for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to this world. In other words, you may say that these are the terms of reference given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was sent to this world as a messenger, as a Rasul, as a prophet, as a preacher, as a teacher. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned four objectives for which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent. And these four objectives have been mentioned by the Holy Quran at four different places in order to emphasize the importance of these four objectives. All of them are repeated four times in the text of the Holy Quran. And this is one of the ayahs in which these four objectives have been mentioned. The Holy Quran says, Yatlu alayhim ayatihi. The first objective of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or first part of his mission, is that he would recite to the people the ayat of the Holy Quran. Yatlu alayhim ayati. Here the recitation of the verses of the Holy Quran has been mentioned in its own force as a separate objective of the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as different from teaching the many meaning of the Holy Quran, because after this recitation the Holy Quran has also referred to the second objective, that is yu'allimuhumul kitab. That the second objective is that he should teach the people the book, that is the Holy Quran, which means that he should explain the meanings of the Holy Quran. So here, recitation of the verses of Holy Quran has been referred to as a separate objective in its own force, as different from teaching the book, teaching the meaning of the book, and explaining the precepts given by the Holy Book, which indicates that the recitation of the Holy Quran in itself is an independent objective of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and an independent act of worship rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here we may infer that some people at times object on the makatib of the Holy Quran, which teach the text of the Holy Quran to minor students. They make it hifz of Holy Quran. They remember, learn the Holy Quran by heart and commit it to their memory. They say that these children do not at all understand the meaning of the Holy Quran. So it makes no sense that they are repeating the words of the Holy Quran like puppets, and they do not understand what it really means. So this part of the verse indicates that the recitation of Holy Quran, the tilawa of Holy Quran, in itself is a separate objective for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to this world. Because the Holy Quran is a book of Allah, or no doubt the real benefit can be drawn from this book after understanding the meaning of it. But at the same time, mere recitation itself has a great reward. And recitation must be in accordance with the recitation of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, who has brought down the Holy Book. At another place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, لَا تُحَرِّكْ بِهِ لِسَانَكَ لِتَعْجَلَ بِهِ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا جَمْعَهُ بِقُرْآنَهُ فَإِذَا قَرَأْنَاهُ فَاتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَهُ ثُمَّ إِنَّ عَلَيْنَا بَيَانَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you should recite the Holy Book as the book is recited to you by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. The recitation of the Holy Quran has a specific style. That style must be complied with while reciting the Holy Quran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when came to this world, he recited the verses of the Holy Quran, and he has also mentioned that when we recite the Holy Quran, is any ayah of the Holy Quran, the recitation of one letter carries the reward of 10 virtuous acts. And then he explained, La aqul alif lam mim harf. I don't say that alif lam mim is one letter. In fact, alif is one letter, lam is one letter, mim is one letter. And therefore, if you recite alif lam mim, then you will be eligible for 30 virtuous acts. So this was a separate objective for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent down to this world, and he carried out this job by teaching all the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in how they should recite the Holy Quran. So tilawa of Holy Quran has come down to us through Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, and their successors. So this tilawa in its in itself is an independent purpose of a Muslim. This is the point made is by this verse of the Holy Quran. Then the second objective is Ya'allimuhumul Kitab, that he should teach the meaning of the Holy Quran to all the people, should explain it, interpret it before the people, what does the Holy Quran mean. Here again there is a point to ponder, that when the Holy Quran says Ya'allimuhumul Kitab, the whom refers to whom? Refers to Sahaba. Ya'allimuhum, teach them the book. Who are them? Sahaba. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. The point is that all these Sahaba were fully familiar with the Arabic language. They did not need any translation of the Holy Quran, because they themselves, Arabic was their mother tongue, and they knew the meaning of each and every word used by the Holy Quran. Still the Holy Quran says Ya'allimuhum, that the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches the Quran to the Sahaba. So what this teaching means? While all the Sahaba are fully familiar with the Arabic language, they need no translation of the Holy Quran. It implies that the teaching of the Holy Quran or explanation of the Holy Quran is something over and above the translation. This is not only translation that is needed for the Holy, for understanding the Holy Quran. This is something over and above translation that was conveyed by Rasulullah to the Holy Sahaba. And Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the famous Ashra Mubashara radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, says that I learnt only Surah Al-Baqarah from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in 8 years. فَتَعَلَّمْنَا الْعِلْمَ وَالْعَمَلَ وَالْقُرْآنَ جَمِيعًا. I learned the Holy Quran, the knowledge of the Quran, how to act upon the Holy Quran, and how to recite the Holy Quran. All these things I learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah Al-Baqarah, in 8 years. This saying of Hazrat Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas is narrated by Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti rahimahullah in Al-Itqan. So it implies that it is not enough for understanding the Holy Quran that one goes through the translation of the Holy Quran. There are many people today who say that we have lot of translations of the Holy Quran, we need no instruction from the ulama or mufassirin, we just consult the translation and understand what the Holy Quran says, and then they make themselves mujtahid imam to infer new precepts from the Holy Quran according to their own wish, according to their own desire. So if Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar Farooq, Uthman Ghani, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu needed the explanation of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are we to say that we can understand the Holy Quran without the teachings of the Rasul of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The next objective mentioned in this ayah is al-hikmah. Ya'allimuhumul kitab wal-hikmah.
Hikma means wisdom. So the verse implies that Rasulullah ﷺ was sent to this world not only to explain the holy text of the Holy Quran, but also to teach them what wisdom is, to teach them the wisdom. One can ask, wisdom is something that relates to a personal quality of a person, and for learning wisdom, one may revert to his own reason on the basis of rational arguments. He can develop what wisdom can develop the understanding of what wisdom is. But when the Holy Quran says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to this world to teach them the wisdom, it means that the wisdom really, in real terms, is that which complies with the dictates of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If someone feels that wisdom is in something else, it is not actually the wisdom. It is something, some misconception that has developed in one's own heart. So wisdom is that which is explained by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that this thing is bad, so even though you cannot understand the wisdom behind it, you must accept that this is bad, because the wisdom is the wisdom taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam only. So this was the third objective. Now there is another, the fourth objective for which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent. Yuzakkihim, purifies them. It means that recitation of the Holy Quran is not enough. Teaching the meaning of the Holy Quran is not enough. Teaching the wisdom is not enough. There is another thing that is required from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is to purify them. Yuzakkihim, purify them from the ill instincts that are sometimes developed in human heart. This tazkiyah means to train them in a manner that they develop good qualities and avoid bad qualities. This is the tazkiyah, and this has been done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through training the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. Training practical terms. And this purification, or this purifying, the process of purifying the hearts of the human beings, was such a great task done by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the people who were indulged in so many bad habits, when they are purified by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then all these bad habits have vanished from their hearts, and they became an ideal human beings that nobody has seen the like of them after Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. So these are four objectives mentioned by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that al-ulama warasatul anbiya, the knowledgeable persons, ulama, are in fact inheritors of the prophets. So if they are inheritors, then they should perform all those jobs, all those tasks that have been performed by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the light of this ayah, if we go through the life and works of Hakim ul-Ummah Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, you will find that all these four acts have been performed by Rasulullah, by Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala in his own age as an inheritor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Taking the first object, Yatlu alayhim ayati. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has written a number of books on the science of tajweed, science of tilawa. Since the Holy Quran has emphasized on the tilawa of the Holy Quran, so this ummah alhamdulillah has developed a specific science of recitation, how to recite the Holy Quran. That science is called tajweed. The like of this science is not found in any other language, because in tajweed the ulama have pointed out that what letter is pronounced in what manner and what is the makhraj of one letter. For example, how to pronounce ayin, how to pronounce saad, how to pronounce sa. So they have developed this science that tells you that ayin, for example, is pronounced from the throat like this. From which part of the throat? And how ba should be pronounced? They have pointed out the accurate place from where the pronunciation of ba or sa or sin or saad may come. I think there is no parallel to this science in the whole history of humankind. You know that English language is so wide, and English language has become an international language, an academic language, and so vast, so rich in its vocabulary. But nobody has so far developed the science in which you are told how to pronounce D, or how to pronounce T, or how to pronounce C, or how to pronounce K, and what is the difference between the pronunciation of T and K. No such science has been developed. And that is why the accent of different places is totally different from the other. So much so that the pronunciation or the accent of one part is hardly understood by other parts. And I think that my pronunciation seems to be quite alien from your pronunciation here. I don't know whether you are understanding my pronunciation or not. So, no such science has ever been developed for any other language. This is the unique trait of Arabic language, that each and every letter is accurately explained how to pronounce. And it is not only a linguistic issue, it is an obligation on each and every Muslim to learn how to recite these words, because unless you recite it according to what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has recited, then your namaz, your salah may not be acceptable. If you pronounce wrongly, then the meaning of the Quran becomes wrong, and therefore your salah is not perfect unless you pronounced these letters according to the science of tajweed developed by this ummah. And it is not very difficult. Arabic language has only 29 letters. 29 letters. If you learn one letter on daily basis, after 29 days, you may be fully familiar how to pronounce these letters of Arabic language and how to recite the Holy Quran. So this is an obligation on each and every Muslim. إِذَا قَرَعْنَاهُ فَتَّبِعْ قُرْآنَ. So Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has written a number of books on the science of tajweed, Jamal al-Quran. We learned tajweed only through the book written by Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi, that is Jamal al-Quran. So this is the first objective. Second, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. So Hazrat Hakim ul-Uthman Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has written a very exhaustive tafsir in the name of Bayanul Quran, and the real value of this tafsir is appreciated by only by ulama after they consult a lot of tafsir and they turn to Bayanul Quran. They find that Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has summarized the whole issue after consulting all the detailed tafsir of the Holy Quran. And as I was telling my brothers yesterday, that apart from Bayan al-Quran, during his mabaith, when he speaks of a verse of the Holy Quran, he gives very delicate points about this ayah, and sometimes he explains some points that are not even explained in Bayan al-Quran. So alhamdulillah, I was able to collect all these tafsir, and it has been published in the name of Ashraful Tafsir in 3 volumes. So this is also the function of Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummah about teaching the book. Now the third objective of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to teach them the wisdom. And in this regard also, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alaih has a large number of books in which he has explained the wisdom of the Islamic precepts, and also he has explained that we as Muslims are not supposed to find out the wisdom of each and every precept given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in fact servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not seek the wisdom of each and every precept of Sharia. We must follow the Sharia. This is a vast subject on which Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has thrown great light in a number of books. The fourth objective was tazkiyah. And this is the special field of Hakim ul-Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh. On the basis of this tazkiyah, the science of tasawwuf of tariqa or suluk was developed by the ummah. Just as the science of tajweed was developed in order to comply with Jatru alayhim ayati, science of tafsir was developed in order to comply with Jalimuhum al-Kitab. And in the same manner, the science of tasawwuf was developed by this ummah in order to comply with yuzakkihim. That was the one of the basic purposes for which Rasulullah was sent. This purification means that we as human beings have two kinds of acts. One type of act is called al-a'mal al-zahira. Those acts that are visible, that are performed by our organs, our physical organs or limbs, etc., like salah, fasting, zakah, hajj, umrah, etc. And there is another type of acts that are not visible. They are hidden in our heart or hidden in our inner qualities. Like, for example, takabbur. Takabbur or arrogance is a sinful act. But this sinful act does not emanate from our physical organs. This emanates from one's heart. And that is why Rasulullah has said, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَى إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. There is a part in the human physique. If it comes, if it is reformed, the whole body is reformed. But if it goes fasted, then it becomes corrupted. If it is corrupted, then the whole body is corrupted, and which is heart. So Rasulullah has referred in this hadith that it is our inner qualities that may corrupt the whole body and the whole zahiri act. For example, if you perform salah correctly according to sunnah, but our intention is not to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our intention is to show off before the people, if our intention is that we must be called by others that he is a pious person, then this intention that is hidden in our heart has corrupted the whole salah. There is no reward. There is no reward for that salah. Conversely, it is a great sin. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man salla yura'i faqad ashraka billah, wa man sama yura'i faqad ashraka billah." Who performs salah or saum in order to for the purpose of riya, in order to show the people his piety, then he has committed shirk. Because the ibadah should have been performed for the sake of Allah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if this is performed to please the human beings, other human beings, then other human beings have been associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this worship. وَنْ صَلَّى يُرَائِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ وَنْ صَامَ يُرَائِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ بِاللَّهِ. So this tazkiyah means that to purify our heart from these illnesses, these ailments, that is takabbur, hasad, bughd, riya, and so on. And in that place, in place of these bad qualities, we have to develop shukr for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ikhlas for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawadhu, humbleness. All these qualities must be developed. So the science of tasawwuf, in fact, speaks how to develop these qualities and to avoid bad qualities that must be refrained from. So this is the science of tasawwuf. Unfortunately, some people have taken tasawwuf something over and above or against Sharia. They invented some bid'at in it. they presume that tasawwuf is something that is kashf or ilham or dreams or just meditation, and it has nothing to do with purifying one's moral character. So they have made shrines, for example, in which they teach the people to meditate in a particular manner, to undertake a muraqabah or kashf or ilham. And I have seen a booklet in Pakistan issued by a leader of such a shrine, who said that nobody can be a sheikh or alim or a spiritual leader unless he is able to show to his people the Kaaba while sitting in Karachi and make him perform salah in the Kaaba. Unless he is able to do so, he is not able to be called a sheikh. So they distorted the meaning of tasawwuf. They distorted the basic essence of the tasawwuf, and just devoted it in such supernatural things. But the real thing that is commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yuzakkihim, tazkiyatul akhlaq. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, al-ihsan, an ta'bud Allah ka'annaka tarah, fa'illam takun tarah, fa'innahu yarah. That you perform acts of worship as if you are seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your eyes. And you feel yourself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you are seeing Him. Or at least, if you are not seeing Him, at least with a concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is seeing you. This is ihsan. So these are the qualities that are required by the Holy Quran and Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How to develop these qualities? This is the subject matter of the tasawwuf. This is not something alien to Sharia or foreign to the dictates of Quran and Sunnah, but it is a part of Sharia. It is a part of the teachings of the Holy Quran and Sunnah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is what Hazrat Hakim ul Ummat Maulana Asha Wali Sahib Thanvi rahmatullah alayh has explained in Masail al-Suluk and in At-Tasarruf and in his Mawa'id. He said, in fact, tasawwuf is to follow the Sharia in all respects, in A'mal al-Zahira, in A'mal al-Batina. So follow the Sharia, following the Sharia. How to follow the Sharia? This is explained by the science of tasawwuf. And normally this cannot be done without a guide or a spiritual master who trains his pupils how to develop good qualities and avoid bad qualities. For that purpose, this was the way in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught, educated Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, and then Sahaba educated Tabi'in, and Tabi'in to Tabi'a Tabi'in, Tabi'a Tabi'in, and so on. This has been the practice of the elders of this Ummah from the beginning right to this day. And Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Khanqah of Thana Bhavan used to the people used to come there, stay there for months sometimes. My father, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Ahmad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, used to spend the whole Ramadan there in the Khanqah of Thana Bhavan, and during that stay he was trained by Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. And some people presume that tasawwuf is only through teaching them some zikr. No doubt zikr is very, zikrullah is a very virtuous act, but still it is not the basic objective of tasawwuf. Along with zikr, he has to go through a process of training in which takabbur is, for example, takabbur is curbed. The quality of takabbur is curbed, the quality of riya is curbed, and the qualities of humbleness, the qualities of shukr, qualities of sabr, qualities of rida bil qada, these are developed through this training. And Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh has explained this in his books and his mawa'iz. Unfortunately, the mawa'iz of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi and also the books of Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah ta'ala were not introduced outside the subcontinent of India, and therefore the people do not know what a great work he has done in the service of Islam. Alhamdulillah, now some books are being published here, and alhamdulillah, I think they will be beneficial for the new generation to learn the real essence of Sharia, real essence of tasawwuf and tariqa and suluk. At the end, I would also warn my younger generation, our younger generation of Muslims, about the wrong interpretation of Sufism that has become widely propagated, especially in the Western world, by non-Muslims. They have coined the term of Sufism, and they pray Sufism, and they preach Sufism, they propagate Sufism, and one may think that they are doing this in the service of Islam. But the reality is that the Sufism propagated by many Western writers is quite contradictory to the Sharia, quite contradictory to the real essence of the tasawwuf and tariqa. Came across a high official of the Western world. He came to our Darul Uloom and saw how we are teaching the Islamic sciences. After seeing all this, he said to me, I did not find here any clue of teaching Sufism. So I asked him, what do you mean by Sufism? He said, Sufism is something relating to one's soul, and what pleases the soul is the basic objective of Sufism, like playing music, for example, dancing, and having wajd and qawwali, etc. So this kind of Sufism I never saw in your institution. So the poor person, presumed that Sufism is restricted to this type of acts, playing music and qawwali and poetry, etc. The real problem is that when the Western world speaks of soul as against the physical life, they presume that they are speaking of the spirit, or they are speaking of spiritual things. While there is a big difference between soul and spirit. Soul, in fact, what they mean by soul is what is called in tasawwuf nafs, yani nafs, the desires of one's heart, desires, ahwa. So what satisfies the ahwa, what satisfies the desires, is them satisfying the soul. There is a book, I have gone through a book that says the modern man in search of soul. So when I read this book, I found that in the beginning I presumed that he has spoken about the spiritual qualities of a person, but when I went through it, I found that he means by soul, he means the nafs, the desire. So he speaks that this industrialization has kept the human beings away from those actions that please the soul, like music, like dancing, like etc., and so on. So if tasawwuf does not have a relation to soul in that meaning, tasawwuf relates to the spiritual qualities, the human instincts, and this is fully explained by Hakimul Mahad Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh. I would advise those who can understand Urdu that they may consult the mobile of Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahab Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh and his books, and Alhamdulillah now a number of his books have been translated in English also. The people should benefit from it, but I would advise that the book like this, At-Tasarruf fi Ma'rifati Ahadith At-Tasawwuf, should be read or should be studied under the guidance of a proper alim, so that one may not go astray through misunderstanding of certain concepts. With these few words, I seek your permission. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. On behalf of the chair of governors, the governors, the head teacher and staff of Madani High School, I would like to thank Mufti Saab for granting us this auspicious occasion, and at the same time I would like to thank Mufti Saab for these sincere advices he has given us in a private meeting. At the same time, I would like to thank Mufti Saab for giving us this understanding on tasawwuf. At the same time, I would like to thank Mufti Muhammad for coordinating today's program, and I would like to thank Turoth Publishing for giving us this opportunity and conducting their program from Madani High School. I would also like to thank all of you sitting here and enjoying the company of Mufti Saab and deriving benefit from 6 o'clock onwards with all our guests and ulama that were present. Jazakumullah.
Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa ulana Muhammad wa ala sayyidina wa ulana. Allahumma laka alhamdu hamdan daiman ma'a dawamik, wa laka alhamdu hamdan khalidan ma'a quludik, wa laka alhamdu hamdan la muntaha lahu duna mashiyatik, wa laka alhamdu hamdan la yuridu qailuhu illa ridhaak, wa laka alhamdu hamdan inda kulli tarfati ayn وتنفس كل نفس. اللهم لك الحمد زينة عرشك ومداد كلماتك ورضا نفسك وعدد خلقك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والفعل والعمل والنية والهدي، إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا إن آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا كربا إلا نفسته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها ويسرتها يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا رب.